Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In the first service, we walked through 1 John chapter 3, a couple of verses at the end of chapter 2, and for this service, I just feel to maybe do just a segment of that. I'm not here to gyp you or rip you off or any of those things. Trust me, even though I'm going to do a portion of that, I can still go just as long. I'm just so grateful you're here and looking forward to the days ahead. What God has in store for your life, our life together. I want to encourage you to continue on this final week of 40 days of fasting and prayer as an emphasis here at New Life. Continue. If you haven't participated yet, it is not too late. And you don't have to feel guilty. Just get in, jump in, spend some additional time in prayer, reading His Word, listening to Him, fasting, eliminating something from your life to crucify the flesh, to create more time to do the things of God and be with Him and stir the Spirit, feed the Spirit that it would grow. And let's see what God will do in our lives and in the days to come. The emphasis for these days has simply been to get closer to Him, to know Him more, to experience Him. We were not fasting and praying in a way of trying to get leverage to get Him to do some extraordinary thing, you know, at least extraordinary in our mind. I want Him to bring reviving to the church. I want Him to bring a spiritual renewal and revival and awakening for some. And that's what this is about, is getting closer to Him and experiencing Him. And so I've heard some marvelous comments from people, just what this has done for them, and want to invite you. We have these posted on the website and on our participation guide and some other cards out in the lobby. Tuesday morning, be here at 6 a.m. for about an hour. If you can come and go during that time to join us for early morning prayer this week, and then Thursday at noon till 1, there's an open prayer meeting again. And then, of course, Sunday morning will be our final day in this service next week. We will worship the Lord while some are being water baptized. It'll be just a great celebration next Sunday morning. And so if you are interested in being water baptized, please sign up this morning. We're going to take that list and start contacting people for a meeting coming this Wednesday and give you some additional instructions. If you can't make that meeting, if there's just no way, one of the ladies in the office will give you details the best they can, and we just look forward also to next Sunday just being a marvelous morning of His presence. So this morning I want us to look at 1 John chapter 3, and I'm just going to probably go down to the key verses other than maybe introducing this chapter from a verse or two at the end of chapter 2. You know, with this emphasis of 40 days of fasting and prayer, obviously, your prayers, in the way of at least the request portion of our prayer life, where we ask things of God and bring things before Him, whether it's for ourselves or on behalf of someone else, or, you know, for us at large or our community, I want God to answer your prayers. I want Him to hear you. I want Him to answer your prayers. And not just for these days, but in the days to come, whether you're out in your workshop and you're talking to Him, or whether you're here at church or you're in the kitchen or you're driving down the street or you find a private place in your home or you go for a walk with Him because, you know, spring is here. Hey, that's what the groundhog said on Tuesday. Or what? No, what day was it? Yesterday, Saturday. Thank you. Whoever helped me with that. Who were you? Was that you? Somebody? Thank you. Lost track of days. You know, not that, you know, I can't really find the groundhog thing in the scripture, but, you know, whatever. He gave a favorable reading, as far as I'm concerned, you know, about not seeing a shadow in an early spring, so I'll believe his forecast in faith. That 50 below zero was not fun, was it? No. Neither was that 55 below zero. But anyhow. So I want God to hear our prayers. I want him to answer your prayers in your life. Obviously, there's times that, you know, we don't always know his will. We pray according to our wishes or our will or the way we think we have it figured out. And, you know, it just doesn't necessarily marriage in with what his will is. And when it's over those kind of major issues and dealing with the purposes of God in our life, then as we pray and talk to him, I trust that the Holy Spirit, and as God speaks back, that he begins to change our mind, our heart, and then we start to pray maybe differently. Our request changes. We begin to pray according to his will, that he would have that, bring that change in us to do that. And then there's other things in our life that, you know, we don't know if it's his will or not. It's things that we would like to see him for someone else or in our own life or someone near us. And we just pray according to, you know, our desire. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, to communicate with him. If he corrects us, that's different. But praying that way, I want him to hear your prayers. I want him to answer. I want these to be marvelous days of faith and growing in each other's lives, and that your children can see it and experience it. And to know the nearness of the Lord and how much he cares for you, for your family, for the people around you, those in our community. I want his light to shine brightly in your life. I want you to know the joy of that, the blessing of it. And you and I also, I want us to know and be acquainted with the work that goes behind it, and seeking the Lord and the joy in it, and to know him and experience him and to see him answer prayers, and that we can raise our testimonies of his goodness and faithfulness so that others would know that he is God alone. So those prayers wanting to be answered. John reveals some things throughout the third chapter. I encourage you to read the whole third chapter of 1 John. Read it slowly. Go back and dwell on some things that the Holy Spirit would point out to you. But I just want to catch a verse here as introduction into chapter 3, where John talks about the kind of life we're supposed to live and lead, and what obedience, that what that does is we obey the Lord, and as we bring pleasure to him and how we live and act and conduct ourselves and how we treat other people, and how that lays a marvelous foundation for answered prayers. The end of chapter 2, verse 28, John writes, he says, "And now, little children, abide in him." In other words, continually dwell in Christ. Don't check in with God on Sundays, and that's it. Abide in him. Live in him. It's where life is. Continually walk in him and know him day and night. So he says, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Listen, this is how I would explain this, and not that you don't understand it, but in real simple terms, if you can remember back being a kid, and your mom or dad tells you something that you are to do or you are not to do. I mean, it is a command. You do this, or you do this. You better do, you know, that kind of a command, and you know, we We're slow to maybe getting around to doing it, or we were slow in learning not to do it. And we were aware of it. Or they asked us something to do specifically, and we said, yeah, I'll do it. And a day goes by. And another day goes by. And another day goes by. And you know you didn't do it. And you're going down the stairs, and you're entering into the common place of the house, the kitchen, the living area, and you're trying to creep in to see, is mom there? Because I did not do what she asked me to do or told me to do. And you want to just kind of float across the floor. You want to do one of these. You want to sneak out quietly. Why? Because you're shrinking back from facing her because you are carrying a guilt that you did not do what you were supposed to do. This is what John is writing. He says, I want you to be in full confidence that if you obey his commands, when he shows up, he says, I don't want you to shrink back from him because we know we didn't do what we were supposed to do, but rather we did what we were supposed to do, and it releases us to have full confidence. It's called responsible faith. We all need grace and mercy to become righteous. We will not become righteous on our own. It takes his grace and mercy. It takes a work of the Spirit. It takes us yielding to him and then expressing what I call responsible faith, making good on the grace and mercy that he has given to us to give an opportunity for a fresh beginning, a new life. See, that's what he's writing here. He says, now abide in him so that when he appears, you may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. In other words, and mom says, hey, by the way, did you get that done? No. I told you 3 days, you shrink back. John's writing says, I don't want you to shrink back when the Lord comes, when the Lord shows up. I want you to be in full confidence. Not self-righteousness, but that we made good with his help on his grace and mercy, that when he comes, we will not shrink back. We won't have to hang our head because of embarrassment or shame, but we will bow our head in honor to him. That's different. You see, John's writing and he's building up to what we call chapter 3. It's just one letter, really. And he writes this letter. And he starts to shape it and form it, and he's going somewhere with it. And we're going to wind up at what I would call a key verse for this morning in just a moment. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. I guess the question for me then as I read this, I say, Randy, are you moving along in righteousness to show that you are born of him? I guess the question's good for you too. Are you moving along in a life changed and transformed to become more like him that proves what you and I say we believe? So that when he appears, we will not shrink back in shame. Embarrassment that we did not do what he said. He moves through chapter 3 and he talks about purifying ourselves and the contrast between, those who are born of God and those who are born of the devil, the contrast between those who believe in Christ and those who are in the world who do not believe. And he talks about this contrast and how actions prove the proclamation. And he moves us through this chapter, and he comes to verse 19. And these are some key verses. 22 is the real key for this morning. It's not the key verse of the chapter. It's just for this morning. So verse 19, he says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. So previously in the chapter, as he says, by this we shall know. In other words, if you and I are doing what God commands, and he talks about loving one another as a part of that, that if we see these things evident in our life, if I see it as evidence in my life, it brings assurance to me that I am born of God, that I am moving along in righteousness, and that is a likeness of Christ being evident in my life, in your life. That brings us a peace of mind, that when our heart condemns us for no reason, we can remind ourselves of the truth that when I judge my life and the Holy Spirit helps me, that I look at my life, and if things are right and things are in order, I can stand before God and approach God in prayer, you're going to see this, with a confidence, not arrogance, not, hey, I've been doing what's right, so you owe me. No, 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 no. It's this faithful, responsibility of faith, this building of faith off the grace and mercy, that we are moving along, we are being transformed, we are becoming righteous, we sin, and we know how to fix it. We know how to get to him right away, we know how to confess, we know how to cooperate, and we begin to go through that change. And when we stumble and fall, like James writes, if you sin, pray. You get to God right away. Don't hold on to this. Don't let it linger, because if he shows up or you show up in his presence and he comes near, I don't want you hanging your head in guilt or condemnation. Fix it so that you can be before God and your heart can be at rest and you can be assured and your soul can be at peace and you can be in confidence before the Lord that his love is prevailing in your life. And he is helping you make good on it. Rather than carrying guilt and condemnation, how can we approach God and ask him in faith for anything when our heart condemns us? You know what that's like? It's like knowing I haven't confessed sin. I've got this sin going on, and I haven't tended to it. I haven't fixed it. And now I'm supposed to go pray for somebody. And we want to join in prayer, and we're sincere, but how much confidence do we have that God is going to hear us when I've not fixed things in my life that he's pointing out? We shrink back. It hinders our faith. It hinders our prayers. And so watch what John writes here. By this, backing up our proclamation with growing and moving in righteousness, by this, by those things, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Bless you. Now watch the second part, this verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because, why? Because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. If you were reading one of the books, How to Pray by R.A. Torrey, there's a chapter in there that he touches a little bit on this. But this whole idea of if you obey his commands, if I obey his commands and I please him, those two things, they sound synonymous, but there is a distinction between them. There's a difference between them. The commands, by the way, they're not just the Ten Commandments. And Jesus sums the ten up in two. But as we look through Scripture, there's additions. It's not just don't covet and not just don't steal. It's not only don't have any other gods before you. Those are all absolutes. Love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, strength, and love people, you know, as you love yourself. And, you know, there's other things that go on where, you know, don't gossip and don't slander and don't be divisive and don't bring dissension. Those are commands. And it's not just the don'ts, it's also the do's. Serve one another. You can go to the Scripture through the New Testament, and there's things that we're supposed to do that are commands. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he said, those who love me, those who have the commandments and obey them, are the ones who love me. Obedience to God shows that we love him. And he goes on to say that if you obey the commands and you're the ones who love me, I love you and my Father loves you. And, he doesn't end there, and for those who love me through obedience, I will show myself to them. If you don't know God well, and we all need to know him better, I certainly do. But the more that I spend time to know him, the more he will show me himself. If you've stepped into Christianity, you think, well, I'm going to give it a shot, or I'll give it a try, or I need something, so, you know. And you pray, and you try to get to know God, and you don't seem like you're really getting anywhere, and you start to go, you know, this doesn't work. I want to ask you a question. And you have to answer this honestly in your own heart. Have you really allowed God and the Holy Spirit to change your life that you are moving towards and expressing obedience to his commands? Or are you just trying Christianity and still living the same old life? Doing the same old things? Carrying on to the same habits that maybe we shouldn't have? Hanging on to attitudes deep within us that aren't right? Are we moving to obey his commands? And are we doing anything to bring him pleasure? You see, God has grace and mercy, and he answers our prayers even when we're not living real holy. He's gracious and he's merciful. But if we want to move on in salvation and knowing him and really experiencing him and having him answer our prayers, our life needs to express a reciprocated love to him, and the way that it is backed up, though we proclaim it with our mouth, it's backed up by obeying his commands. Do I obey his commands? Because if I do, he's going to show me more of himself. If you're stalled and you're not, you know, obeying his convictions, and maybe you got a lot of big things taken care of in your life that you feel, and you've progressed, that's great, and you know God a bit, and you just feel stalled, what else is he convicting me of, or you of, that we need to change? Because the more we obey him, the more he shows himself to us. Fasting and prayer, we put some things aside, and in these days, he is showing himself more and more. The fasting was a tool for us to get closer, to see him more, to experiencing him more, to plant some new seeds and allow them to grow, that long after this 40-day emphasis is over, we're going to see fruit in our lives from getting calibrated again and experiencing him more. But, you know, it's interesting. John says, you know, if you obey the commands and you please him. See, there's a difference here. I mean, obeying him, that love, it brings pleasure to him. But there are things that you and I do in relationship with one another that can be done with God that brings pleasure. For example, you know, my dad, I mean, he had a lot of commands growing up. And we heard about them. And we heard them over and over again. And there's things that he expected. And from coming from him, they were basically commands. But you know, there was a whole other side too. And that didn't have to do with commands. It had to do with pleasing. In fact, I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, my dad was finishing part of his basement, and he had to haul some lumber from Menards. And so I have this open-sided trailer. It wasn't a day where it was snowing and sloppy. And so hooked it up, got the truck. I was going to pick him up, and we were going to go to Menards, throw the material on the trailer, and, you know, bring it back to his house and unload it. Well, before I picked him up, I stopped by Quick Trip, gas station, and I know that he likes the hot English toffee cappuccino. He didn't ask me. He didn't command me. He didn't expect it. But I said, I'm going to stop and I'm going to get him one of those so that he can have it on the ride over to Menards. I did it to please him. It wasn't an obedience thing. I did it to please him. It's a small thing. It's a tiny thing. It wasn't expensive. It didn't take a lot of time. It was just something I wanted to do for my dad because he likes it. And I knew that he was grateful. He opened the truck. I said, there it is. And he went, oh, Ran. See, that's my dad's emotional way of being really happy. I knew he appreciated it. I knew that he knew that I thought about him when he wasn't with me and that I was going to be with him. And I wanted to communicate all those things. It wasn't a big deal. It was just something that cultivates relationships, lets him know that I'm thinking of him, that I want to please him, that I'm happy for him in my life. Those kind of things. John says, if we obey his commands and we please him, some things that he doesn't command of us, but things that we do or we offer to him that please God. He talks about, I don't know, you can use a lot of things. For example, you know, we can use a tithe and offering. Tithes are a command. We're supposed to tithe. Offerings, they're optional. But you know, I want to do this unto the Lord. I want to give. Somebody who is in need, want to give and help. That's a borderline commandment, pleasure thing. But there are things that we can do that bring pleasure to God, like praying, like more time with him. That pleases him. It pleases him. Listen, you can put this on a human level, and it parallels to our vertical relationship, you know, God and us. My wife, she came to me last evening and said, you know, the clothes in the dryer aren't quite drying thoroughly, so I've got to run them again. She said, so you know what you did that one time? Because the way our dryer is and the way the hose runs, and there's an elbow and another elbow and another elbow, and then it goes out the build, out of our house. It's just the way it was kind of set up prior to us. At some point, that's going to change. But she said, you know, could you maybe, I said, do you need me to do that right away tonight? I was hoping not. She said, no. I said, okay, I'll take care of that in a timely manner. So, today, though it's the Sabbath, the commandment for me is to love my wife. She's not commanding it. She's not demanding it. She brought it up to me and said, hey, can you do something about that? Well, yes, I can, and yes, I will. Because I don't want to let too many days go by, because this is what will happen. I forgot. I didn't do it. I can say I got busy, but I knew I had, you know, it's not a huge job, but it'll take a few minutes. I got to clean the elbows out and get up in there and get all the lint out. I wish she would just pick it out of the clothes before she puts it in there, but I... So, here's the thing. If I let a day go by, and I let another day go by, and I let another day go by, I'm going to be shrinking back from seeing her and talking to her in the house. Because it is looming over me that I did not take care of it. But once I get that done this afternoon, I can walk into the room, not be hindered by what I didn't do, and I can walk with pure confidence in my kitchen and throughout my domain. Because I did what I said I would do and what she asked. And she's going to be really, really happy. Because I will tell her, are you happy? She'll say, yes. I'll say, smile. She'll go. And then she'll go on to what I need to do next. See? I won't shrink back. I'll be at peace with her because my actions backed up what she asked and what I said I would do. It's the same thing with the Lord. If we will obey His commands and do things that please Him, we will be able to watch this now in verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because why? We kept His commands and we have done what pleases Him. You understand, God wants to answer your prayers. But He wants to have relationship with you and I. And He wants to preserve you for this life and all eternity. And so He gives the commands that protect us and keep us within a blessable state in relationship with Him. I want you to stand, please, all over this room. I want God to hear your prayers. Do you want Him to hear your prayers? Do you want Him to answer your prayers? Do you want the joy of getting to know Him more? Because as we do, He will show Himself more to you. Don't give me this, I tried God, it didn't work. Did you try obeying His commands? Have you yielded your heart over to Him? Have you done things that pleases Him? Because I will tell you, He is excited about revealing Himself to you. It's what He wants. You know the joy it is to give your child what they asked for? You know the joy of cleaning that stupid linty vent today? You know the joy after that's over? I'm still her man. Did what's right. Did what pleased somebody. You can approach him with confidence. That's totally different than when a customer walks into the store and you see them and you go, oh, I promised to call them 2 days ago and give them an update on their shipment. And you didn't do it. You shrink back. God wants us to be able to walk into His presence in confidence and with assurance so that our prayers would not be hindered by disobedience. See? I want your prayers to be answered. That's the bottom line this morning. I want you to be blessed. I want you to see how Jesus is going to continue to reveal Himself so much more into your life because you obey Him, because you love Him. You're not obeying Him because I have to and then I can use it as leverage to get what I want. He sees that. The Old Testament, they were doing that all the time. He said, you offer these sacrifices, you bring these offerings, you obey those things, but your hearts are far from me. They did not do things that pleased Him. They obeyed some commands, but they did not please Him. I want us to obey His commands because we love Him. And I want us to do things that please Him. Because He's God, and He loves us. And the result of that is answered prayers. I want you to remember these two things this morning. So I'm going to have you say them. Would you just say, obedience. Obedience. Pleasing. Pleasing. Obedience. Obedience. Pleasing. 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 Ah, I fooled you. Obedience. Obedience. Remember that this morning. Remember to say, am I obedient and am I pleasing God? Am I loving Him? Is it just words? Am I backing up with my actions? And am I doing things that please Him? Things outside the commands. And Jesus will reveal Himself to you and He's going to answer your prayers.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.